thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed again every day, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday evening, my time, show about the week that was, and Bible prophecy update, weekly Bible prophecy update. And as usual, we have a lot to cover now. There's never kind of a dull moment, prophecy-wise. And I have Brother Dave Hauser here with me. We go over and unsheathe Brother Dave, and there he is. Hello, Brother Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
All right, and are you all ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
All right. Your labor is not in vain with the Lord. Now, these two series of scriptures, mine was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Dave's is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, are basically the heart of the rapture doctrine. And of course, there are many, many more scriptures, but this is the heart of the rapture doctrine, where Christ is going to cut the end times. He's coming twice, once to meet the church in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. On the second time, his feet are going to stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Very clear. Two comings. One is in the air, that's where he meets the church, and the other is he's returning to Israel to set up his kingdom age here on earth. And so we're looking for the blessed hope, Dave. That's the one where he meets us in the air. Amen?
Amen, John. It's very clear. Two separate comings.
So let's look at the blessed hope. It's Titus. It's in a series of scriptures, Titus 2:1-14. 1 through 15. But let's just look at verse 13, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. All right, Dave, we've got a lot of information to cover here about Israel, so in the Middle East. And let me open with a word of prayer.
John, let's pray for Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah, let me open with a word of prayer here. Hang on, I guess, neaten the little things up here. All right. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can meet together, Lord. People are from really all over the world here. We thank you that we can come together in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for a blessed time. And Lord, I pray that we're all exhorted, that we understand the prophetic time. We understand all the evil and what's happening. But nonetheless, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. And that whatever we do in this ministry is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now, Lord, there is a horrific hurricane bearing down on Jamaica, Lord. Winds up to 150 and gusts maybe up to 200, Lord. It may sit over Jamaica for hours, Lord. It'll be like a big tornado. And Lord, we're asking mercy. We're asking for the protection of the lives, Lord. Lord, we're asking that you would, and mercy, I can't think of anything else, Lord, in this storm. I mean, it literally, it's the whole, the hurricane's, the eye is big enough for the whole Jamaica, Lord. And then it's going to, I think, hit eastern Cuba, and it's going to have a big impact on Haiti, and it's going up to other islands up there, Lord. So, we're asking for mercy now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen, John. Yeah, I saw the weather report, John. It's the worst hurricane that has hit Jamaica in, I think, recorded history. And they're talking about possibly 4 feet of rain. And my wife and I, when we got married, we went to a honeymoon in Jamaica, and it's very mountainous. So what happens is the rain, if you have 4 feet of rain on the top of the mountain, by the time it gets to the bottom of the mountain, it could be 20 feet of flooding, mudslides, and there's people living in tin houses. So it's not going to go very well unless the Lord, like you said, John, we have to pray for mercy. And hopefully there'll be a revival in Jamaica, that they'll realize, hey, we have to get right with the Lord, you know?
Well, yeah, Dave, this is, you're right. You know, that rain, it's not flat. The land's not flat. So you get 4 feet, it's like up to your chest and that's it. But if it's mountainous, like you said, wow, wait, you stretch those mountains out, Dave, that's a lot of surface area all coming down there. And a lot of the houses aren't, they're not built. They're basically shacks, you know? So, I mean,
that's a good thing.
This could completely wash out. I mean, who knows? Half the roads in Jamaica, and take down fuel, electric lines, power lines, you know, telephone lines, mudslides that just wipe away towns. I mean, this is really, really, really serious.
Yeah. The other thing, John, too, is Jamaica totally depends on tourism. And they could be out of commission for a long, long time. Who's going to go to Jamaica for tourism? And they depend on that economically. So on top of destroying the infrastructure, it's going to destroy their economy.
Yeah. I mean, trying to rebuild what I don't think Jamaica's got a, you know, big time economy. So with this destruction, wow, Well, I think it's going to hit Tuesday. It's right off. It's moving, Dave, at like 2 miles an hour.
It's going to be over Jamaica for a long time, John. Very slow. Very slow. That's why the rain totals are going to be catastrophic.
Okay, Dave. I'm just looking here at the chat room. All right. Let's take a look, Dave, at what's going on in the Middle East, particularly Israel. So give us what you have for an update, Dave.
Well, John, one thing we talked about right before the show that we're both very concerned about, in your book is America's Done to Israel, which, believe it or not, we have a picture of it being given to Benjamin Netanyahu, where Gary Krupp gave it to him in Jerusalem, I think in 2017. It documents the fact that the United States has to complete with Israel. And once you vary from that, it could be a problem. So the one thing we have to pray about, too, is that the current administration, the Knesset in Israel had a little vote, okay, where they talked about voting and passed the annexation of the West Bank, and that would prevent a two-state solution. Now, when you look at, you Google the 20-point peace plan, and you look at number 19, it talks about leaving the door open for a two-state solution. So recently, Vice President Vance went to Jerusalem, and he's concerned about what the Knesset is doing, which I understand, because we're trying to keep peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, okay? But it's concerning, John, because we know, according to the scriptures, during the tribulation, all nations will gather against Israel and over Jerusalem and Judea. So what's your take on that, John?
Oh, yeah, Dave. Right now, it's only talk. But if President Trump, let's say the Knesset passed this, they're going to annex what we know as Judea and Samaria. And let's say Netanyahu couldn't veto it, and it passed. And Trump got involved in that. That's really serious, Dave. That's the land. That's the covenant land. And in the history of the United States, when starting with George Bush Sr. and then Clinton and then Jr. and then Obama, every time they interfered with Israel, every time there was a disaster here in America, a disaster. I mean, Hurricane Andrew there, that Category 5 that cut right across Florida, that was right during the Madrid peace process. And then Hurricane Katrina, that's when Bush Jr. was forcing Ariel Sharon to pull out of Gaza and turn it over to the Palestinians. That was Katrina, the right exact time. At the exact time they were doing that was Katrina. And I could go on and on and on and on, Dave. So hopefully, we know this, something has to happen eventually, Dave. We're hoping that that's done after the rapture when we've gone to be with the Lord. How's that, Dave?
Amen, John. And what's interesting, Mike Huckabee had an incredible speech in Jerusalem, and he's a former Baptist pastor. Let's put it this way. We should invite him on the show so there's an update on what he thinks about God's plan for Israel, because he's on the same page with us, John. And he's the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, so he has tremendous influence with the current administration. So maybe Brother Mike could influence some of the people in the current administration.
Well, Dave, I have this ready to go. Do you want to see Huckabee's speech?
I would love it, John. It's very inspirational.
Yeah, what it is there's an opening. What's the word? The city of David is south and below the Temple Mount. So in the old days, including the Lord's Day, the people would come into the city of David. There was a, we'll say a little highway back then through the town, through the city. And they would go through the city and up steps and all of this up into the Temple Mount for the religious ceremonies they have, and like during Passover and that. So this is a famous walkway that the Lord himself walked through. And they've dug it up and restored it to basically like the way it was. And Huckabee is giving a speech there at the time that they're initiating the opening of it. So let me get this. So everybody, we want to, it's about little, I think a little more than 10 minutes. I'm not sure, 11 minutes. But if, I really enjoyed it. So let's see what we have here. And we'll get it over. And here we go.
What an honor to be here for this incredible ceremony. Mr. Prime Minister, Secretary Rubio, all of the wonderful people who made this possible by their generosity, contributing to something that is historic and something that is a living memorial of what God has done. It was 4,000 years ago here in this city on Mount Moriah where God chose his people. He not only chose a people, but he chose a place. And then he chose for the people in this place a purpose. The people were the Jewish people. The place was Israel. And the purpose was to be a light to the world and to show that we don't have to look for God because he is looking for us. And that is what so separates the long history of why this city is so important. It's also a reminder to us that this little bitty sliver of real estate on the vast planet Earth is the most contested piece of land in all of human history. Not because of just those who want it, but because of those who don't want the Jewish people to have it. But tonight, something is extraordinary that we celebrate. For 3,000 years ago, David established his kingdom here. And 2,000 years ago, the world, through the Romans, decided we'll get rid of the Jews. And they destroyed this place. And they scattered the Jewish people across the planet. But that wasn't the end of the story. Tonight, we're sitting here because the story is not just alive. It's more alive than perhaps it has been in the 4,000 years that God chose his people, his place, his purpose. And it is an extraordinary thing to behold. Tonight, I'm reminded of the day that the embassy was dedicated in 2018. I was so grateful to President Trump for making the bold and courageous decision that despite all of the opposition across the planet, he was going to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, as he should. Other presidents promised it, but they always found a reason to back away. President Trump made a promise, and he kept the promise. And on the day that we were here, and I was overwhelmed with emotion as I sat at the dedication of the embassy having moved to Jerusalem, there was a young man in the crowd, and he was exuberant. He was an American, and he was looking around, and he said, "Wow, I've been waiting 20 years for this to happen." Sheldon Adelson, who along with his wife Miriam, who is here tonight, major contributors to this incredible excavation. Sheldon, who I absolutely adored because he was one of the funniest men I've ever known. When the young man said, "Wow, I've waited 20 years for this," Sheldon, in his very dry way, just looked and said, "Son, we've been waiting 2,000 years for this." What a great reminder that the Jewish people are a patient people. And tonight there's something extraordinary, truly extraordinary, to celebrate. It was David, the king and the psalmist, who said in Psalm 137 and verse 5, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill." The Jewish people never forgot that this was their land, their home, their undivided, indisputable indigenous capital from eternity. And tonight, something truly extraordinary happens. It is often said that history is to a civilization what memory is to the individual. If any of us were to wake up tomorrow and not remember where we lived or who we were or who that woman is that is living in our house because we didn't know her to be our wife, amnesia is a horrible thing to have because one is disoriented, lost, completely unable to make a connection just to the simplest things of life. But history is to a civilization what memory is to the individual. And tonight, this is a celebration of the history of Yerushalayim. There is a verse in the New Testament, in Luke, verse 40 of chapter 19, and it says this: if the crowds keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If the crowds don't acknowledge it, the stones will cry out. Tonight, the stones are crying out. The crowds may say it, but the stones absolutely and 100% validate that the Jewish people not only belong here now, but they have belonged here for 4,000 years since the time God said to Abraham, "This is yours. Take good care of it, and you'll be a blessing to the people around the earth." And even to those of us who aren't even Jewish, he says, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And I come here tonight because I'd rather have a blessing than a curse. I recognize that this extraordinary excavation is not just dust and stone. It is a living speech in which God is crying out through the very stones to say to the world, this magnificent excavation, this extraordinary piece of archaeological mastery is a validation and a truth, and it is shouting from the top of the mountain that this is indeed the eternal home of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, and the people who rightly belong here. And tonight, the rest of the world comes to say, welcome home, and may no one ever, ever attempt to take your home from you. It is yours. And those of us who are not Jewish, we thank you for giving all of us a foundation of morality and decency and civilization upon which our own faith is built, for without yours, we don't have one. As I often tell my Jewish friends, you can be Jewish, you don't need me. But I cannot be who I am in my faith without the debt of obligation that I owe to you for having listened to God and been willing to be obedient to Him when He called you to this place as His people for His eternal, everlasting purpose. And I salute you and join you tonight in the celebration of this wonderful, magnificent, incredible reminder that God never has been finished with Israel, and He never will be. This is the eternal home that He has chosen. God bless you all.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, John.
Yes.
John, let's be honest. Could you or me or anybody that you know have said what he said more eloquently? And to think about the fact that he is the United States ambassador to Israel, the Lord is having mercy on our country.
Yes.
And be the ambassador.
Yeah, and right there looking at him was the Secretary of State.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, so that's a real blessing, John. It's you could tell he's a former Baptist minister. He knows his scriptures very well, and the way he presented it was amazing, John, amazing.
All right, let's see what else. That was very edifying. I like the whole setting. Let's take a look at, Dave, we did mention, or you did mention, when you started off with that comment there about there'll be no annexing Judea and Samaria. And Vance was there at the time that was being voted on, and he was like kind of visibly upset about it. Dave.
Right. You mean the speech, you mean?
No, the fact that Israel was going to, the Knesset was voting to annex Judea and Samaria.
Right. Well, you know what happens, John? It's already annexed because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the landlord, and they have the title. It's their land. So regardless of what anybody on the planet says, their attitude, their concern, the Lord has already given them the land. And John, I mean, oh my gosh, how could it be any more clear? Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against them. It's happening right in front of our eyes, right in front of our eyes. But the good news is that Huckabee is in the administration. Hopefully he can make the light bulb go on and biblically explain, hey guys, we want to be on the right side of eternity. We don't want to facilitate a two-state solution. We don't want to divide the land. And when you look at the Palestinian Authority, they have a program called the pay to slay. So if you kill a Jew, okay, we're going to pay you. It's wonderful. They spent millions of dollars on this, okay? So what are you going to have the Palestinian Authority in charge? They're as just as psychotic as Hamas.
Yeah, and there's some serious things coming down the road here, Dave. First of all, will Hamas live up to the bargain here they've signed up for? I don't think so.
Well, they're already not, John. There's videos of Hamas lining up Palestinians and shooting them in the back of the head. And then also recently, Hamas has killed some Israeli soldiers. So they're already violating the situation, and they have a theological goal to serve Allah and, you know, the servants of Muhammad. Their job is to kill Jews, and they want to go into eternity, you know, as martyrs. So I doubt very much they're going to give up their arms. Realistically, I don't think that's ever going to happen. And, you know, it's already not happening.
Dave, I don't know how many Hamas killed. You know, they shot him in the head there. That was like kind of groups that want to take over Hamas. So Hamas is having no part of it. But
right.
It was a substantial amount. Weren't there like 10 killed? Maybe more?
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Yeah,
yep, exactly.
Now, Dave, did you hear any country in the world object to it, make any type of, you know, statement about how evil Hamas is killing those people?
Well, I didn't hear the International Criminal Court calling an emergency session to, validate that Hamas is committing genocide. I didn't hear anything about that.
Right.
They're too
right.
busy condemning Israel.
They didn't say a word, Dave. Not a word. It was out in the open. Hamas, whoever the people were, they were interfering with what Hamas is doing in Gaza, and out in the open, just shot them down, and not a word, Dave. The only one that did say something, well, someone did say something, was Trump, and he said about going in and stopping them from killing people. So, all right. We know how it's going to end, Dave. We just don't know the turns in the road to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Here's an article titled, The England We Love Is Lost. All right. If we don't change, America will be too. And here's what I wrote lead into this. Once again, Britain is just like the pre-Nazi era. Dave, the Nazis had a lot of sympathy in Europe, particularly England, in the 1930s. In fact, that one king abrogated his throne there, and it turns out he said he married, I think, a divorced American woman, and he stepped down. But apparently, behind the scenes, he was going to be exposed as a big time Nazi sympathizer in the 1930s. This is extremely dangerous for the Jews and real Christians. The Jews should flee to Israel, while the real Christians should flee to the USA. Dave, I don't know, except by a actual super divine move of God, how England can be, I'm going to say the word saved, Dave. I watched this closely, and I'm going to read from the article, and you can hear how bad it is there. But they've brought in a particularly militant brand of Muslims have been allowed to come in to England. And it's plus on top of it, Dave, the government is viciously anti-Christian, and anything with the Lord, you get arrested. You can't. If you try and stand up against abortion, you get arrested. If you stand up against transgender, you get arrested. If you say a word against Islam, you get arrested. Okay. Well, the real Christian should flee to the USA. Let's hope that President Trump opens America to Europeans seeking asylum from the New World Order tyranny, which is on the way. While we are doing this, America should invite the Canadian Christians to the USA also. And I don't know if I posted it here, but it just came. Let me see if it's posted here, Dave, because I wrote that and then something came out. Maybe it's not here, where literally Trump was saying that they're going to look into giving asylum for the British that are exactly what we just talked about. He's talking about opening America, giving them political asylum for being persecuted in England for being Christians and, you know, conservatives. All right, now this is the article here about England. October 11th, hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters marched in London, shutting down streets and businesses. Even the ceasefire in Gaza didn't satisfy them. It's Starmer's fault. Now, Starmer is the prime minister. He recognized a Palestinian state, rewarding Hamas for its barbaric assault on Israel and emboldening the protesters. Now the government has to try and look good. It told universities they must take stronger action to protect Jewish students. But a new YouGov poll suggests that 1 in 5 Britons holds anti-Semitic views. The message to Jews in England seems disturbingly similar to what it was in the 1930s. Get out while you can. What do you think, Dave?
Well, John, it's very sad because I think it was the Balfour Declaration in 1917 by Lord Balfour. It was a very short declaration, but it kind of set the stage for the rebirth of Israel. And now they turned 180 degrees, and it's sad. I was talking to a friend of mine down in Florida. No, actually in Arizona. And a lot of the younger relatives that are in their 30s are listening to Tucker Carlson, and they are vehemently anti-Israel. Vehemently. I mean, it's like a tsunami of anti-Semitism. And it's all over the world, John. It's all over the world. So it's a fulfillment of prophecy. And, you know, sad to say, the people that understand the Bible understand this is a fulfillment of prophecy. It's happening right in front of our eyes. And this is just the beginning. When you read Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, things are not going to be going well for Israel during the tribulation. It's going to be going very badly. This is nothing compared to what's coming up, John.
Right. Right. Well, what's coming up is going to be something on the scale of what happened during the Holocaust in the 1930s and 40s. Only it's 2/3. Yeah, it'll be probably the same thing, only there's more Jews there now, so more will die. Okay, Rubio at Gaza Coordination Headquarters. Israel has met its ceasefire commitments. Hamas must disarm. So the U.S. is 100% for Hamas's disarming. And we'll see, Dave. You know, the time is really growing short now for them to disarm. And if they don't, Israel says it's going to go in and do it. And Trump said he wanted to get a team to go in and do it, and not Israel, because it gets volatile when Israel gets involved like that. So we'll see. Netanyahu, this is a headline. Israel will set its own red lines on international forces deployed under Trump peace plan. So Israel wants to keep control, which it should, of who's going to go into Gaza. Now, Dave, how about half the team going in from Turkey and the other half from Egypt? What do you think of that?
Well, that doesn't look like a good idea, John, because if you play the videos of what Erdogan, the prime minister or president of Turkey, said about Netanyahu, he wants Netanyahu assassinated. So that would not be a good idea.
And what about Egypt? Do you have any problem with Egypt?
Well, Egypt is not happy with Israel either. You know, they've massed, a lot of their military into the Sinai, violating the agreement that they had with Israel. And they're basically being very bellicose against Israel. So that would not be a good idea either, John.
Yeah, Dave, most, if not all, of their tanks have crossed the Suez there, and they're literally facing Israel right there at Gaza. I mean, I don't know how many it is, but there's a lot of tanks there. And at the latest UN meeting, or the last UN meeting, El-Sisi, that's the leader of Egypt, he was from the pulpit up there. I don't know if you call it a pulpit. What do you call it? Wherever it is, where they speak.
Podium.
There you go. Pulpit, podium's close. He was talking about how evil Israel and Netanyahu are publicly like that. So that doesn't sound like they really want to be good friends there in Gaza, does it?
Well, John, we know Turkey's going to be involved in one of the end time wars against Israel. And Egypt, I think, a dog's not going to be able to walk in it for 40 years. So things are not going to go well for either country, John.
Now, Dave, you mentioned something earlier about the right wing here in America, how it's turning against Israel.
Right.
Well, I posted an article saying real human beings spreading Jew hatred on political right, Ted Cruz says. So Cruz met with Netanyahu recently, and he brought up the fact that there is a real surge of anti-Semitism here in America on the right side. I mean, Israel on the left, it's already been there for, what would you say, Dave, about 10 years ago it really started?
A long time, John.
Yeah, 10 years ago. And it's been quiet here on the right. But I can pinpoint the day, Dave, when it exploded here in America. Can you pinpoint the day? I'm going to give you a little test.
No, I failed the test, John.
All right. October 7th, Dave.
Oh, right. October 7th, yes.
Yeah. When Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, it did something in the spiritual realm, Dave. And like Tucker Carlson, you could trace it all back to October 7th. That Candace Owens, they've gone crazy, Dave. It's a guy I used to watch. He was with Alex Jones there. Alex Jones promoted his videos. He was called the Health Ranger. And I followed him all through COVID-19 and he was right on. I mean, right on. October 7th hit 2023, and he was like a monster the next day, Dave. And Zionist, Zionist, that's all you heard. And Tucker Carlson, what do you call it? Alex Jones was kind of neutral towards it, but then he started promoting these people, and it's he's promoting them on his show. They're saying, many of them are saying that the Mossad in Israel was behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And they're adamant about it. I was talking to someone today and I said, what proof do you have? There is no proof, Dave. Obviously there's none. But it's all someone has to do is start online saying the Zionists killed Charlie Kirk. And the next thing you know, it's like a roaring fire. It is scary now. They're unhinged. They're exactly like the left, Dave, in hating Israel. Exactly. So I call it the ZTS, Zionist Derangement Syndrome. And it is heading steam. And that's what Cruz was saying here. This is what he said to Netanyahu. Netanyahu kind of brushed it off, saying it was like AI doing it and all of that. But this is what Cruz says. These are real human beings, and it is spreading, the senator said, in the last year. And we have three prominent voices on the right publicly, Muse. That means deep thinking. Gosh, maybe Hitler wasn't that bad after all. If I pick up my phone and send out a tweet and I say good morning, within minutes, I will have hundreds of blatantly anti-Semitic responses, Cruz said. Speaking at the event hosted by the ministries of John Hagee, founder of and the national chairman of Christians United for Israel, Cruz said that in addition to the Jew hatred, isolationism is gaining ground among conservatives. So there it is, Dave. It's advanced really quickly now to the point where Cruz is outspoken support of Israel. So he's becoming a big target. And there's a what do you want to call it, a crowd after him? Yeah, Dave, what do you think?
Well, John, let me give you a little quiz because you always give me quizzes, okay? Is the creator of the universe...
Oh, Dave, I'm going to have to mute you, Dave. I'm sorry. You're being muted right now.
Okay.
I'm only kidding you.
So, John, I'm just going to give you a quiz. It's a very simple question.
A quiz.
Is the creator of the universe a Zionist?
Yes, he is, Dave.
Very good.
Yes.
That wasn't a trick question, John, because you've talked about it multiple times.
Yes.
And I saw a little interaction between Ted Cruz and what's his name?
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. And I mean, like, whoa, very, very sad. And John, we should not be surprised. This is the tip of the iceberg to compare what's going to be happening. When you think about it globally, okay, look at the size of Israel on the map, okay, and look at the whole world, okay? The whole world, especially with Jerusalem, when you think about the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews are fighting over Jerusalem, wouldn't it be a good global idea?
Dave, they've just about completely taken over China.
Right. Gotcha. Well, wouldn't it be a good idea globally just kind of take over or just eliminate Israel globally?
Yeah, well, you know, God wants it that way, Dave, because he's greatly glorified by a little nation like that, and the whole world can't destroy it. So, you know, that's God's power. That's God's power is behind Israel. But Dave,
exactly, John.
You know,
he's going to protect them.
I like Tucker Carlson. I liked Candace Owens, and I liked a lot of things in that. Alex Jones was maybe a little rough and all, but I mean, he really was ahead of his time when it came with the New World Order and all. But Tucker Carlson, I watched him. I have some scholar on it, some bizarro historian saying crazy things about the Holocaust and Well, then Tucker never can. I mean, it was, he had him on his show and he went along with it. So Tucker's losing. I don't know if he's losing it or lost it. Dave, it's sad when I see this. And this one guy, the health ranger, all of a sudden he became a theologian and he was teaching that Ezekiel 38 and 39, that was about God destroying Israel. Seriously, Dave, I watched him. It was 180 degrees off. We need, Dave, a move of the Lord here to thwart this, because this could come like a roaring forest fire coming against the Jews here now, Dave, in America. It's scary. And this is only, this isn't even 3 years since 2025. We're just at the 2 year mark now, 2023, rather.
Yeah, John, like I said, John, this is just the beginning, and it's going to get, how can we say, exponentially worse. The whole planet's going to be ganging up in Israel, and we know what's happening. And, you know, it's so specific, John. It's not like we're hallucinating. It says Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against it. Now, it's already past tense. The Israeli government is authorized the building of, I think, 3,000 housing units in the section of E1, which is just to the east of Jerusalem, which basically puts a nail in the coffin to create a Palestinian state. So what are we, you know, what are you going to do? In other words, they've already, how can we say, pushed the button. It's already happening, John. And on top of everything else that's happening, you know, like the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Britain instituting a digital ID system. And the prime minister in Britain says, hey, Starmer said, hey, if you don't participate, you can't work. Well, hold on. Let me see. If we can't work, well, I won't be able to buy or sell. Oh, does that have anything to do with Revelation 13? Yeah, I think so, guys. And there's like 100 other countries that are also instituting biometric systems. And it's like the tsunami, John. All the prophecies are happening. And it's funny. Everywhere I go, no, like I went to AutoZone today, okay? And it wasn't that busy. So I shared my testimony with the cashier. And he looked up stuff on his phone. He was all excited. Oh, boy, I can't wait to figure this out. This is an incredible opportunity for us to share our testimonies. And the time is now, not next week. It's tomorrow. Share your testimony with somebody. If you're familiar with prophecy, say, I say to people, do you follow the news? And then I say, hey, well, I can give you an idea of what's going to be happening, because nobody has a clue as to what's going to happen. But the ancient Hebrew prophets laid out exactly what was going to happen. And it's happening now, right now. It's not like we're making these things up, John.
Right, Dave. Right. And I see it with the 666 brochure. I see the same thing. Oh, they ask me, does this have to do about AI? I say, yes. Oh, I want that, Raul. I want that. I want that. That AI is scary. I want that. So I have no one has turned that away. They're grabbing for it. They, so yeah, now's the time. Now's the time. Getting back to Israel, I want to talk here a little about my roots, and that's Ireland. And a little background going into this article. For whatever reason, the Irish are the biggest Jew-hating nation in Europe. There was a poll a couple of years back, and a third of the Irish wouldn't let a Jew in their house. That's how bad it was, Dave. I mean, nothing but loathing hatred for Israel. So the country, and there's a curse on it right now for what they're doing to Israel and the Jews, because Ireland has like 6 million the population. It's very small now. It's people just leave. You know, they come. Well, they used to go. I don't know where they go now, but they don't stay in. A lot of them don't stay in Ireland. But anyways. In the last couple of years, they brought 500,000 foreigners and Muslims and you name it. And there might be a town in Ireland with 5,000, and they bring in 15,000, 10,000 of the aliens, and the Irish population's gone. It's no longer Irish. And there have been some riots there now against the government, and so it might be getting real ugly, because the Irish have no hope. They're going to literally destroy Ireland. But Dave, I'm looking at it. What's Ireland doing to Israel and what the Bible says? So they just yesterday elected this woman, Catherine Conley. Now, I know nothing about her, never heard of her. But here's the article, the title. Hamas apologist Catherine Conley wins Irish elections. So let me read this to you. Catherine Conley, a far-left independent politician who has called Israel a terrorist state and has advocated for Hamas' continued hold on power in Gaza, was elected to Ireland's 10th president on Sunday after a landslide victory for her revival. I guess she had formerly been the president. Conley, who has refused to condemn Hamas's October 7th massacre, has frequently commented on the genocide in Gaza, and she calls it and criticizes atrocities committed by Israel. She has told the BBC during a campaign that Hamas was part of her fabric and the Palestinian people. Ireland is viewed internationally as one of the most anti-Israel countries in Europe, and Israel has accused former President Michael D. Higgins of being anti-Semitic. So there you go, Dave. And I don't think there's any future. I don't think there's any hope for Ireland, Dave. And Ireland's not
the only. Doesn't look good, John.
No, Ireland's not the only one. Scotland is like that. That's part of Great Britain. Iceland, Scotland, Spain, Portugal, they're all just about in the same league as Ireland now. So what hope does Europe have, Dave? No wonder they've got the Muslims embedded like that. You don't want the Lord? You don't want his people, the Jews? Well, you're going to get Allah and you're going to get the Muslims. Instead of Jews, you're going to get Muslims. I don't think they'll ever make the connection there in Ireland. The curse of God is on them for what they're doing. I mean, they elected Hamas. You might as well say she's Hamas, Dave.
Very sad, John. Very sad.
All right. We're getting down about the last of the articles I have. Now, in Great Britain, there's a, I guess it's a newspaper. It's called the Church Times, and it's a London-based newspaper closely aligned with the Church of England. Now, it's just that you don't see newspapers anymore, do you, Dave? Those are long gone.
Not too much, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a piece in this article or this newspaper that just came out. And it's written by Dan Cohn Sherbrooke, a U.S.-born Reform rabbi who lives in the United Kingdom, where he is currently Professor Emeritus. Woo, Dave. Professor Emeritus in the Jewish Studies at the University of Wales. If you are going to blame the Jews for the current surge of anti-Semitism, particularly in the outlet serving the Christian community, it helps to have a Jewish author to do so. The thinking here is easily explained. If a Jew says these things, then they can't be possibly be anti-Semitic. So this rabbi sounded just like Catherine Conley in Ireland. The problem is the Jews are wonderful. It's Israel's fault, Dave. This rabbi here, when he was writing, oh, the Jews are good people. They're fine. We get along with everyone. We fit right in with all the people of England. But it's the Israelis. It's Israel. That's the problem. So he threw Israel under the bus, Dave. This rabbi. I read the article. I read the article. So right under the bus. He's worse than you throwing your wife under the bus, Dave.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised, John. It's very sad.
Well, and speaking, how is Diane?
Oh, Diane's doing very well, John. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And what about your hip, Dave? What about your hip?
Huh?
What about your hip?
The hip is going much better. I've been going to therapy for 6 months. So I'm just about able to use a pogo stick now, John.
A pogo stick.
No, it's going well.
Okay. That's funny, a pogo stick. All right. Well, Dave, it's that time now. If you don't get out of here real soon, what do you turn into, a pumpkin or something? What is it?
A pumpkin, John. It's the holiday is coming, John. Yeah, so a little update on the shipping department.
Okay.
When you go to usaprophecy.com, you can scroll down a little bit, and we have a little video on the Last Trumpet. And then we have ABBA International Fellowship, where there's some pictures of what's happened in the past with the shipping department. And recently we got a nice donation in. I want to thank Brother Jeff for helping us with that because we were out of funds. But, John, the demand, it's really very, very unusual because for years, the only country that we were shipping to was Kenya. And we could not even keep up with Kenya. I'll be conservative. We were dealing with 50 pastors in Kenya. Then all of a sudden we had Malawi, Nigeria, Somalia, Tanzania, Burundi. Just trying to think what the other countries. Maybe a few other. So now the demand is through the roof, and we just don't have the funds. So when you go to the website and take a look at the pictures, John is going to try to put some new pictures on the website that you'll be able to see. Realistically, and I'll be conservative, through the years, we've shipped thousands and thousands and thousands of brochures to Africa. And then John has been printing stuff in, what, India, right, and Pakistan.
Yeah, so and East Africa, a lot of in Spain, Spanish.
Right, all over the place. So that's the story, John. So listen, I'll talk to you during the week, and everything's going well. So God bless.
Okay, Dave. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll talk during the week. All right. What I want to share now in the second hour is there's some serious things developing now with Russia. And I want to get over and look at this. And I posted some really, really good information. Some of it was lengthy, but I highly recommend if you get the chance to read through it. The one that was lengthy is Putin fears another coup as Russia finally begins to buckle. And I think that's probably one of the longest articles I've ever posted, but it is chock full of really good information. Political information that's going on in Russia, economic information that's going on in Russia, and it's kind of all coming to a head now. So this is not good, and I want to spend time tonight talking in detail about what's going on in Russia. But before that, there's a lot more else to cover. What's immediately going on right now that I want to keep you up to date with is Venezuela. Now, what I'm beginning to find out, there's more going on with Venezuela that meets the eye. Apparently, China has taken over huge amounts of Venezuela, basically the Venezuelan economy. And that China is also being used, or the Chinese are using Venezuela for the drugs and all of that. So the drugs are a part of it for sure. But China is making a big play to take over Venezuela, Colombia, and other countries in Central and South America. So kind of behind the scenes, what this is a confrontation between the United States and China. That's what this is, really. And I found that through reading some very, very interesting articles. And I believe it. I believe the way that it was laid out, that this is a, this isn't like, this goes beyond. We don't need what we're setting up now in the Caribbean. We have the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier coming with its battle group. We've got F-35s there. B-52s have flown up and down the coast of Venezuela. I think we're up to 10,000 Marines now are in ships ready to land in Venezuela. Submarines, we've got submarines there. So this is a big, huge power display right now against Venezuela. So with Trump, when he was elected, you know, one of the first things he was talking about, and it sounded bizarre, was Greenland and also the Suez, not the Suez, the Panama Canal. And I'm talking about, I'm hearing this stuff about Greenland. Then all of a sudden, I find out that Russia has its eyes on Greenland, and so does China. And apparently Greenland's got a lot of minerals and oil in it. And Trump was heading it off right away. I don't know if it was Russia or China, made statements about like they were going to defend Greenland. It must have been Russia. So it came out that behind the scenes, Russia and China, they probably would have carved it up, were moving to take over Greenland. Because I've read this and I don't understand it about Denmark's relationship with Greenland. Something about Denmark is the overseer of Greenland, but Greenland is saying they're independent. It's weird, this relationship. So I can't tell you if Greenland's independent or not, or Denmark is like it's a territory of Denmark. And Trump was talking about like buying Greenland and annexing it and all. So that's what it was. It was a power play between Russia and the United States. So Russia has backed off it now, and you don't hear anything. It kind of dropped with Trump also, so I don't know what's going on. And then the Suez Canal, Trump said that we were going to basically send the Marines there and take the canal away from Panama, because what happened was Panama got bought out by the Chinese communists. And the next thing you know, Panama is made, I guess you would call it like another treaty with us, and brought the Panama Canal back under its control in that. But I had no idea there was a problem like that with the Panama Canal until Trump brought it out. So if for that reason and many other reasons, I tend to kind of trust him in a real sense, but also, you know, I'm watching real closely what he's doing. So the fact, so I told you all that to tell you this, the fact that he's making a big, real big deal out of Venezuela, and, you know, rightly so, with the drugs that are coming in and the terrorist gang that they have there. I mean, many, many Americans died as a result of the terrorist groups there in Venezuela. But there just seems to be more to it than that. So behind the scenes, it's China, folks. This is a showdown between the United States and China, and Trump wants to drive China out of South and Central America. This is a big, huge power play. And apparently it's right on top of us, because that aircraft carrier, they said it's going to take a week to get there. And he's been flying the B-52s, have been literally flying up and down the coast of Venezuela. First I heard we had a couple thousand Marines. Now we have 10,000. So this could be, we're not going to invade Panama. Venezuela and like take the country over. I think he wants to, bring certain things under control. And maybe the move might be to drive the communist Chinese out of Venezuela. That's probably that's his goal in this. Probably. And maybe destroy some, warehouses with they're keeping the drugs in them. So I did, like I said, I did read this today behind the scene, of this showdown between Trump and the communist Chinese. The same thing probably will happen with Colombia. Venezuela might be the first country to fall. And then Colombia is another one that the Chinese are virtually owning. And I don't know, in South America, I don't know if there's more countries than those two. But I know that the Chinese are big in Mexico. So the way I look at this, it's sort of like dominoes. He's lining up Venezuela first, and he's going to break the back of the Chinese communists in Venezuela, get them out of Venezuela, destroy whatever of theirs and all, and free Venezuela from the Chinese. Then the next one will be Colombia, and I have a real gut feeling that when he's finished with Venezuela and Colombia, he's going after Mexico. In fact, there was talk about destroying all the, I guess it would be poppy, the poppy seeds in Colombia. They apparently have identified the big areas for, cocaine, and they're talking about destroying it. So maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he will attack Colombia anyways to get the Chinese communists out. But in any event, I would not be surprised if there's an ultimatum made to the Mexican government that they either get rid of the cartels and the influence of the cartels out of their government, or the United States military is going to go in and do it. I think that this is where this is heading with Venezuela and Colombia. Now, I don't know if there's any other countries involved. It could be. I know Panama, China had made big inroads to Panama, but that seems to be taken care of. So I don't know if there's any other Central American countries other than Mexico. Okay. Now, let me find this article here. All right, here. There's the headline. This is big time serious. It's as serious as it can get. Headline, Putin sends chilling World War III threat with flying Chernobyl nuke. It's unstoppable. All right, so here's what happened. During the week, this Russia is really complicated now. So let me see if I can kind of make this uncomplicated. Trump is trying to work for a treaty between Russia and the Ukraine. And it seems like one day it's Ukraine that's holding it up, and the next day it's Russia. So anyways, Trump told Putin that they're putting an embargo on, and I think tariff, on their big oil companies, which will really, really hurt Russia economically, big time. Because there are sanctions already, but this one here is, what he did is they're big. This will hurt like 50% of their oil. So the next day, and Trump did make comments about this, you know, breaking Russia. So economists are basically agreeing with Trump. And when it comes to this, Trump is like a genius, folks. When it comes to economy and understanding it, you know, that the position Russia is now, they've got huge, at their gas stations, cars lined up, you know, huge lines because of the shortages. Everything involving gas is a shortage now in Russia. It's the Russian economy is heading into like havoc. When Trump does this, it's like throwing gasoline on the fire. So he knows what he's doing. The next day, let me read the article. A nuclear capable missile dubbed SSC-X-9 Skyfall by NATO was tested on Tuesday, October 21st. Valery Gerasimov, chief of the general staff of the Russian armed forces, confirmed that it traveled 8,700 miles and it was in the air for around 15 hours. The missile reportedly invincible to defenses and has an almost unlimited range and an unpredictable flight path, Putin said. It is unique. It is a unique wear, which no one else in the world has. All right. Now, so this is definite that this, the full details of it are not known, but it definitely flew, and it's powered by a nuclear generator. It's not got like, they call it solid fuel or liquid fuel, gasoline. This is nuclear. And it can carry nuclear bombs. So if the Russians launch this, it can stay up indefinitely because it's nuclear powered. And it flies at a very high speed. So they can put it wherever they want in the earth and have it doing circles all day long for 10 hours and then decide to point it at London. And that's it. And this is a very unique weapon. It's a very dangerous weapon. The Russians have test fired it. Now, here's the thing about the Russians. Their equipment is the worst of the worst. It's like a third world country. Their tanks are awful. Their airplanes cannot fly over Ukraine or they get shot down. They have to launch their missiles outside of Ukraine. Their helicopters were getting shot down. The Ukrainians destroyed a third of the Russian Black Fleet with drones and missiles. Their army has lost between severe casualties and deaths like a million in 2 years, 3 years against Ukraine. The Russian planes, like I said, are awful. And they don't last, they can't go into Ukraine or they get shot down. Now, what the Russians are doing is they're firing a lot of missiles from their planes outside of Ukraine and firing them into Ukraine. They're firing a lot of drones. So when you hear, you know, Ukraine, so many Russian missiles hit the Ukraine. Well, they may have fired 200. And 20 got through. All right. So I don't, and then the Russian submarines are known for killing people. They've got one submarine. I haven't heard anything lately, but it was in the Mediterranean and it was a disaster. What was ever going on in it? It was like, almost sinking. It couldn't stop it. So I don't know what's happened to it. But all they need to do is get one nuclear bomb through and hit one of our cities and it, you know, be an incredible, incredible event. So the picture is Trump says he's going to break Russia and its economy. The very next day, which I just read the article to you there. Putin sets off this, they call it Skyfall missile. Supposedly there's no defense for it, and it carries nuclear weapons. This is pretty serious because Trump has initiated this on the oil companies, which in, I don't know what length of time, but certainly into next year, it could literally, I mean, crush the Russian economy. The Russians have put up this Skyfall missile that flew how many hours and almost 9,000 miles. So this is real, folks. This is very dangerous now because Trump may break Russia, folks, economically. He may break it. And Putin is saying, you're going to break us. We can't survive. Our economy is completely collapsing. Therefore, we're going to fire these missiles at you, and you're not going to be able to stop them, which maybe not. They're going to get through. We're going to take out 10 of your top cities in America, military installations, things like that. This is very close because those tariffs are in place right now against Russia. Monday, they went into effect. And the economists are saying it is very dangerous for the Russian economy. What Trump did, it's going to force, at some point, it's going to force Putin to act. And the acting is okay. His action will be okay. Let's sit down and talk to the Ukraine and work a deal out. Or he's going to say, we can't go on in the war anymore. Our economy is coming apart. So we're going to go down. We're taking America down with us. Can't be any more serious, folks. When this war first started, I wrote something basically like this, that we really don't have to worry about, because Putin was warning about or threatening nuclear weapons from the very beginning. And I said, if Putin is winning, we don't have to worry about it. If it's a stalemate, as long as Russia can hold it off and not, come apart, we're all right. But if it comes to the point where Russia is coming apart, its economy is coming apart, if NATO troops enter Ukraine and head to the battle against Russia, but that's the dangerous point, that Russia may resort to nuclear weapons. And that's where we are now. The clock is ticking on this. I've reported fairly regularly about the Russian economy. And the Russian economy is in trouble now because of the gas shortages. There's pictures. There's all sorts of pictures online if you want to see gas lines in Moscow. So the clock is ticking. And Trump is doing with these Russian oil companies in the embargo there, and it's going to break Russia. This is really dangerous. I mean, it's as dangerous as it can be. So that's something to keep our eyes on, and that I will keep you on top of it about the Russian economy. If it has no effect on the Russian economy, then things will continue as usual. If it does, and Russia's forced that to either stop the war or their economy is going to collapse and all, then yeah, really serious. We also have this going on with Venezuela now. And behind the scenes, there's this, China is sitting behind the scenes there in Venezuela. All right, well, that just about covers everything. We got China in the background. China's been a little bit quiet lately. All right, we're going to switch now to all sorts of bizarre, crazy, weird events happening here in primarily in America now politically. It's what's going on in the United States is, you probably heard me say this, I get up in the morning and I can't wait to get over there and look at the news, because things are so happening. It's happening. It's like presents from Christmas. So during the week, we've really had some incredible things happening. All right. Here's the leadoff article I have. New York Attorney General Tish James is arraigned in Norfolk, Virginia, pleads not guilty to both charges. So she was the one that ran for office as Attorney General and said, vote for me and I'll make sure that Trump is convicted. She actually ran on framing Donald Trump. Literally, she did. In fact, I'm sure it's easy to find online where you can hear her campaign speeches. And I think it was one after the she won that she was telling people that we're going to get Donald Trump. So they made up these charges on had to do with mortgage fraud. I watched just about all of it. It was nonsense, complete nonsense. The judge is, I'm not even going to go into that. So here, someone did background check on her and found out that she has buildings and homes, and she has been cheating on her mortgage applications, saying that she's like the primary owner in a house in Norfolk, Virginia, and she lives there, and at the same time, she's the attorney general of the state of New York. Well, exactly like she claimed Trump was doing, she did. So now there's two charges. One is the fraud and the other one, I'm not, false information or something. So she just pled. She went to court this week and pled not guilty. So there's a date going to be set for the trial. Amazing. Amazing. Exactly what she tried. The false charges she brought against Trump, real charges now were brought against her. Amazing. And I watched one of her speeches, and she's an innocent lamb. This is political retribution. She's going to win. You know, amazing. Not a bit of, well, she's a politician, so they'll lie right to the end. But it's really ironic. It's the same charge she brought against Trump is brought against her. Amazing, folks. Now, this one here is real serious, and it's about the Utah governor. And the article says Governor Cox must answer for the Kirk killing in Utah state security lapses. So, I read the article, and I found out way more information than the headline suggests. But what I'd like to say about this governor, when Charlie Kirk was shot, and he was explaining what happened and things like that, the governor, you'd think that him and Charlie were the best friends, and he was a adamant like follower of Charlie. No, Charlie had exposed this guy. He told Republicans not to vote for him because he's for transgenderism and he's woke. This governor is woke. I had no idea till I read this article. And Charlie and him were not best friends. Charlie wanted to destroy his political career and get someone else in, so that the kids would be protected from this crazy governor. I was shocked when I read this because I can remember seeing him giving updates on the situation with Charlie. The other thing is there was little to no security there. And on big events like that, and it's in the law, if you have so many people at a meeting you know, like a football game, a high school football game. You have to have an ambulance there or EMTs and that. Now, Charlie had several thousand. There was no EMTs. They had to grab Charlie and put him in the back seat of a car and drive him to the hospital. There was virtually little to no police that I saw. So how can you have an event like that? Now, this was a state college, and the governor is, you know, over the state colleges. So to me, it looks bad now. How that guy lied, I had no reason to doubt him. I didn't know anything about him. How he lied about Charlie, and he's woke, and there was really no police there. There was no ambulance there. And I could easily see him calling and saying, you know, no, I don't want any ambulance there and no police there. I don't know if he did that. Why? It's like the same thing with the Secret Service when they tried to assassinate Trump. Nothing was working for the Secret Service. They couldn't coordinate with the police. I don't think they could coordinate with themselves. The assassin was up on a roof that the citizens could see, and they're yelling and hollering, and the Secret Service couldn't see it. They didn't have anybody on that roof that had a perfect straight line view of Trump on the stage. And now the same thing with Charlie. There's something really wrong here, folks, really wrong. So there are people that are aware of this, and they're going to try and get to the bottom of what was going on with this governor and this university, that there wasn't better police protection and there wasn't an ambulance there in case something like this happened. It was shocking to me about this governor. Now, the governors of these states, we call them the blue states, and these Democrat cities are really getting aggressive. And if this continues the way it's going, there's no doubt that, like the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago, the governor of Oregon, the mayor of Portland, and at this point, I don't know what other city. Oh, Boston for sure. Boston for sure. The mayor of Boston, I don't hear much, if anything, about the governor of Massachusetts. The Mondami there from New York, he's a communist Muslim. And if he gets elected, New York will be just like Chicago. And I'm sure, push comes to shove, there's many more states and cities that are going to surface on this. But the way it's going now with California and Los Angeles, the way it's going with Oregon and Portland, the way it's going with Illinois and Chicago, probably Massachusetts, but definitely Boston, we're heading for insurrection. It's kind of here already. They're getting deeper and deeper, these governors and mayors, week by week, absolutely boasting and threatening and arrogant and lying. They refuse to acknowledge the criminal element with these illegal aliens and act like all of them are husband and wife and three kids, family type thing. They are looking for trouble, folks. They really are. They are looking for armed conflict with the federal government. Extremely dangerous. And knowing their mentality and how these people operate, there's a playbook to go by on this. You know, Karl Marx, if you read his writings there, which I don't recommend, and I couldn't stomach it, but I know friends that read it, and I talked to them about it. He's got a playbook there, and Rules for Radicals that Hillary Clinton follows, and I just can't think of that man's name. But they've got a game plan to follow, how to take down a country, how to cause a tremendous civil war and all. So they're following the playbook on this. They're very dangerous, the extremely dangerous people now. So I believe that what they want to do is they want to have some sort of a confrontation in, we'll say, Portland, Oregon, and 30, 40, 50 Antifa peaceful protesters are killed and 50 are wounded. And they want to use this as a rallying cry to begin the insurrection. And as a result of that, the rioters will break out in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Seattle, Minneapolis and St. Louis and Detroit, you know, all over New York. And there'll be mass bloodshed, killing. And they want to, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever, they want to bring America down. That's their goal. If they can't control us, quote, peacefully, with a little muscle, you know, they'll bring the FBI in to bring people down and all. But if they can't control us, I think that they want to destroy America. Like this, the federal government shutting down. Well, they can do serious damage to the economy, folks. You know, we're a full month into it now. And pretty soon the airlines are going to stop. You know, you won't be able to use airplanes. Other things are going to stop. All sorts of things are going to stop. And the military isn't being paid, folks. They don't care. In fact, they probably think it's better that the military doesn't. Maybe they hope the military gets so angry with Trump, they'll blame Trump for it. But the military is not getting paid now. They're extremely dangerous, extremely dangerous. So Trump has outfoxed them. Like originally he was going to go into Chicago. Now they're in there now. The federal agents are in there now, but not in force. Not in force. He was talking about, you know, in force, like the National Guard going in, you know. But he went to Washington, D.C., which turned out to be very good. He went into Memphis, which we don't hear about, but he's been in Memphis. It's very good. The results are very good in Memphis. Like, I think 200 or so have been arrested, and many illegal aliens, felons, guns. They've taken all sorts of guns away, arrest gangs. And the reports coming out of Memphis are tremendous. So it's smart for him to do that, just for the people to see that it's good results, that things are going good. The governor of Louisiana wants the Trump and the federal government to come into New Orleans to clean it up. The mayor doesn't, but I think she just got convicted. So he may be going into New Orleans. And so it's very good that he's done this. Very good. So the big one's going to be Chicago. And I really think that they've got major plans there to perhaps shoot and kill and wound and beat up federal agents to start retaliation and all and have it get out of hand and use that then to claim that Trump is a tyrant. Fascists, look at all these people that were killed. And as a result of that, you know, 1,000 buildings are burned and hundreds are wounded. That's what they want, folks. These are evil, evil, evil people. Diabolically evil. They cannot tell the truth. They cannot. So the fact that illegal aliens that are criminals are being targeted as the main ones, that means nothing to them. They ignore that and try and make it that it's a husband and wife and two kids. So I can't say enough of how evil these people are. So that's That's what's going on right now. I'll give you the headlines here. Stephen Miller, now he's a top aide to President Trump, drops bombshell threat. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and other officials could face seditious conspiracy charges for blocking ICE deportations. In this video. Also, I wanted to tell you, I don't want to forget this, that if the president has the authority to declare insurrection, he has that right. And from what I understand, the courts really can't interfere with that. When he declares it as a insurrection, a national emergency, he's got all the power behind him. If he does that, now, I'm going to go back to Abraham Lincoln as the example. When the Confederates, but particularly South Carolina, attacked Fort Sumter, and the report came back to him about the attack, he declared insurrection. And at that point, it's martial law, and all our rights are suspended. So in particular, I'm talking about Baltimore, where the army went to Baltimore because of the insurrection, and they arrested all sorts of Confederate sympathizers. They arrested politicians. I'm not sure if they arrested the governor, but they arrested the people who had the printing presses, you know, the newspapers, and they put them in jail. And what's called habeas corpus was suspended. He could keep them there indefinitely, folks. No rights to an attorney, nothing. That's what could happen to Pritzker and Johnson in Chicago. Now, the left would go crazy here, but once insurrection is called like that, the people that are arrested for the insurrection, all their rights are suspended. I think, with Abraham Lincoln, I think the numbers that were arrested right in the very beginning, I think they spent the entire Civil War in jail. So this gets real serious. I mean, the president, when there's an insurrection and it's martial law, has tremendous authority, including what I just told you. Rights are suspended. The right to the press is suspended, you know, a right to trial is suspended, all of that till the insurrection is over. So that's what could happen here. You know, there could be some huge confrontation in Chicago, and the president wouldn't declare it for the whole nation. Well, maybe if the cities went up, you know, but he could call it for Chicago. The mayor is arrested, the chiefs of police, if they're involved, the governor. And they can be put in jail with no access to the public, you know, no attorney. I don't know if that law has changed since Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. But I know when I followed the Civil War there and what happened, they called it habeas corpus was suspended. That's the crime. When you're arrested by the police, they have to produce like the body of the crime. What are you arrested for? And that was suspended. So they could just be pulled off the street, put in prison, and that was it. So Pritzker is being put on notice by the Trump administration that he's facing seditious conspiracy for blocking and interfering with ICE deportations. Oh, this is mind-boggling. I don't know if the people are stupid. I guess they are. Here's a headline. Minnesota man arrested after posting murder for hire TikTok video offering $45,000 bounty for Pam Bondi's assassination. He called me online and advertising for an assassin. He was just arrested. I'll read that again. Minnesota man arrested after posting murder for hire TikTok video offering $45,000 bounty for Pam Bondi's assassination. And apparently he had pictures, and one of them was a picture of her face with a scope. And when you look through the scope, you could see these lines around here with a red dot in the middle. And the red dot was in her forehead, to shoot her. So, yeah, that just happened. I think today or yesterday he was arrested. Now, this is real Islam, and it's what is in England. It's being somewhat suppressed here by the Muslims themselves, and Trump now is deporting any of them that get out of line, these Muslims. So here's the headline. Radical Dearborn preacher calls on Muslims to celebrate and repeat Charlie Kirk's assassination. See, this is real Islam. And I don't know how much of this article I captured here for saying this, but in this article, this imam called the other imams cowards, and they're not following Mohammed. You're not following the Quran, because if someone says something against the Prophet Muhammad, and you don't kill them for it, then you're wrong. You're not a real Muslim. And he called them out for it. That's real Islam. All right. The video alleges that Kirk insulted the Muslim Prophet Muhammad, and that his murder is therefore permissible under Islamic law. Exactly right. Whoever insults the prophet or disparages him, whether Muslim or disbeliever, then he is to be killed. That's from the Quran. What greater enemy to the Sharia is Islamic law is there than someone who insults the messenger and by extension Allah? The narrator says that the Quran endorses vigilante justice for asking, how can you clowns, that's the other imams, then condemn the action of the prophet, praise him. So they're saying that the prophet did this, and how can you condemn someone like that shot Charlie Kirk? When the prophet did the same thing, you see, that's real Islam. He's true. I mean, whoever this person is, at least they're telling the truth about Islam and Muhammad, because they try and make Muhammad almost like a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, not a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout. And all you got to do is read a little. And he is not a Cub Scout, a Boy Scout. He is a real bona fide criminal, murderer, highwayman, rapist, bad guy. Every sin, I think, that's listed, he's committed. Muhammad. But today, he is just like a Eagle Scout. Muhammad and Eagle Scouts go together. But this guy here told the truth, and he's calling out all these imams for their like cowardness, and that they should be standing like the assassin of Charlie Kirk. That's real Islam, folks. That's what we need to hear. Real Islam. Okay. The next one is Biden and his Attorney General Merrick Garland. An FBI director, Chris Wray, personally approved the opening. It's called Arctic Frost Investigation into Trump. So Biden signed off on it. Garland signed off on it. Wray signed off on it. And therefore, it's all fraudulent. They admitted it was fraudulent, but they used that to open the investigation on Trump. Biden's mind is gone. But Garland and Chris Wray, they very well can face charges for this. In fact, I can't see how they can't. They could charges and go. Depends upon if it's a fair trial, a jury or not, and the judge. but be convicted and go to jail. I mean, it's not a minor thing to try and overthrow the president of the United States and his government. That's what they did, folks. Many other countries, they'd be in prison now, and maybe the gallows would be set up to hang him. That's what they did. That's how severe it is what they did. And Wikipedia Enforcement Committee, this is what they said. They should ban Bible verses opposing homosexuality. So in Wikipedia, if there's something in about a person, for example, and homosexuality, Bible verses are used about homosexuality, they will block it and not allow it. And I did not get a chance, but I saw the University of Tennessee and another university had, Tennessee was 7,000 attended and huge numbers got baptized, saved and baptized. Same with the other college, which I can't remember. Remember, I should have, I thought about posting it, but I didn't get a chance to. So I wanted you to know that that movement of the Lord on the college campuses is still in effect, folks. Every week, we're seeing these, you know, significant numbers of people coming to Christ and being baptized. So, that covers it for critically important information. Well, let me just check. I don't know if I covered this last week or not, but Jack Smith, terribly corrupt federal attorney, who was the one that was holding the special investigation against Trump. He's under criminal investigation now for what he did, all illegal. So there's a possibility, and they're looking to disbar him right away. So they want him to be disbarred so he can't be an attorney, and then he's under criminal investigation. So that's really good. Yeah, I do have more things, more information here. The United Nations tried to enforce a tremendous climate tax on the American people, and Trump vetoed it immediately. So there was talks of 65 taxation without representation here, and it's one of the backgrounds of the American Revolution. Taxation without representation. So London was taxing the colonies, but we had no representation to speak up in Parliament on our behalf. So that became one of the rallying cries for the American Revolution. Taxation without representation. So the UN tried it, and Trump, I don't know how far they got. Because they don't have any arm, they don't have any authority to do that. The United Nations is not elected. It's just governments send a representative there. So where does the United Nations get the authority to tax nations? They don't. So there is another one that's really important. So we thank you, President Trump. At a football game, it says here, Turning Point USA continues to reshape campus culture. This has to do with football game. It was Penn State against Oregon, and apparently Charlie was a big fan of Oregon for some reason. So at that game, thousands of students wore Charlie Kirk shirts, and then they have that tailgate, they call it, that pregame where they cook barbecues and all of that. Everybody had Charlie Kirk shirts. So that's nice. You know, it's spreading throughout the college campuses. I had a lot more. I didn't realize it. Anglican Church splits over LGBT-friendly woman archbishop, and the Anglican Church, which in America is called the Episcopalian Church, the churches in, I think Nigeria, but the Rwanda, it was in Rwanda, they split. They're no longer part of the, and now they should have done that many, many, many years ago. But 50 million split away where they have their own denomination now separate from the Anglican Church over homosexuality and it being promoted in the Anglican Church. China arrests numerous prominent Christian leaders. And Marco Rubio, Trump stood up against it. And Marco Rubio, publicly condemned China. I haven't heard anything about that, but I know Trump and Marco Rubio did. So that was really nice. All right, Life Surge. It's called Life Surge Events. And I'm trying to see where this took place. I think it was Michigan. I guess it was Michigan. And over 1,000 people made a decision for Christ. And that was nice. Well, that's it. All right. We are at the 2-hour mark. And let's open this up to see if anybody has any questions. Comments, prayer requests, and we'll start off with Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Good evening, Chaplain John, and I'm glad to be here listening to all that you had to say. And I don't have any questions about anything that you talked about. I know we need to pray for our world. We need to pray for salvation for everybody.
Well, if you feel led to pray, please lead us in prayer.
Let me have a sip of water. Try to have some water. Okay, dear Father God, I just thank you that we could all get together tonight, today, or any day, and that we could pray to you for salvation for everybody in the world. Everybody needs to hear about you and come to you, dear Father God, if that's your desire to know you, to know why you came, why you died on the cross and were buried and rose 3 days later and stuff. And so, dear Father God, I just ask that we are able to get this word out to more and more people every day and, you know, every hour. We just need to get just this. It's a simple message. It is so simple that it's a crime when we don't give this message out to where people can hear it. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that I can. And I want to thank you openly right now for Kathy's 10-minute updates or history lessons that she's been doing. They are wonderful. They are great to listen to, and I encourage everybody to go listen to these history updates and stuff. She just does so well with that. And it's all, of course, about the churches down south and, you know, around the world. They're started from a church down south could be started in Spain or Europe or anywhere. And it's just so interesting, and I like to thank her for that, for digging deep into the church history. And I want to say thank you to Chaplain John for having Abba Father International and for him also doing all these prayer times. He has dedicated his life to you, dear Father God, and for Abba Father International. And I just look so forward to everything that he's going to teach and preach to us this week, and at My Shalom and Words of Life Church, and just wherever he is compelled to reach out and teach to. And I also want to pray for all the churches overseas, all the missions overseas, and that everybody is learning about you. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is so, so important that we feel the outpouring. And we don't have to be anywhere special for that to happen. We can be right at our own homes, in our own living rooms, our own chairs, or wherever, and we can just feel that outpouring of the Holy Spirit just come over us and just spread out to other people. And I just want to pray for revival. We do want a revival to start coming out all across the United States again. And we know that it can and it will happen, and it won't be long. So, dear Father God, just please be with us. Please help others learn to pray too, and give everybody the courage to pray to you, dear Father God. We don't have to be afraid to what we're going to say and everything, and you help us get the correct words out. And I thank you for that, dear Father God. And I just thank you for you being you. I thank you for my salvation. And I thank you that I can come to you every day and ask for repentance and stuff. And I was sitting here today thinking of something I did when I was a tiny little brat girl. And I asked for forgiveness for that and stuff. And there's just so many different things out there that we can do. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And I just want to, again, thank you for my salvation. Thank you that you made a place for me. For when I leave planet Earth, I will be in heaven with you and my friends. And I thank you. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Okay. And we have Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain. It was a wonderful and a very informative evening tonight, and I really was blessed by it. And thank you.
Okay. God bless you.
Yeah. Did you want me to pray?
It's up to you.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead and say a prayer. Father, I thank you for today and all that you have provided and given to me, Father. But most of all, Father, thank you for dying for an unworthy person like me and loving me, Father, when I did not deserve it. Father, I pray for America. Our cities are a mess, Father. I pray that you would have mercy on us, Father, that America would not destroy itself. I pray that there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our cities across our country and in our college campuses, Father. Heal us, Father, and forgive us in America. And Father, I pray for Israel. I pray that you will protect her and give Israel peace. And I pray that Israel, well, the Jews in Israel would turn away from their wicked ways, and that they will turn to your Son and you, Father, as their Lord, Savior, and God of their lives. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I also pray for Mike Huckabee. I pray that you would bless him and that bless him and his wife. And I pray that Mike Huckabee would be a blessing to Israel, Father. And I pray that you would protect the IDF. And I pray for the salvation of each and every soldier in the IDF, Father. Protect, guide, and direct Netanyahu. I pray for this, that he will come to the saving knowledge of your son. I pray this for he and his wife. I pray that you would strengthen and encourage him and his family, Father. And I also pray for Chaplain John, Father. I pray that you strengthen, encourage him and his family. I ask that you would bless all the brochures, that many would come to know your son as their Savior, and that many hearts will be healed. I ask that you will bless Chaplain John's finances. And I pray for the Abba Father Fellowship pastors. Strengthen each and every one. Encourage them and bless them, Father. And I ask that you would bless their churches. I pray that you would provide water, food, clothing, housing in these churches, Father. And Father, I pray for President Trump. I pray that you would guide him and direct him in all his decisions that he makes for Israel, and that he will never, ever go against Israel, and that he will never divide or make Israel divide the land. Bless his bless the friendship that Netanyahu and President Trump, Father. And Father, I ask that President Trump will get closer to you and your son with each passing day. And I pray that I pray, Father, that you would bless President Trump, protect him, put a hedge of protection around him, Father, and bless his marriage. And I ask for that Melania will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And Father, I pray that you would bless everyone that is online tonight. Strengthen and encourage each and every one of us, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, now we have Suzanne.
Well, I would appreciate, I hate to do this to you, but I would really appreciate praying for me because I am having a heart panic attack. And my pulse is really high, and I know my blood pressure is not good at this moment.
No, we'll pray for you right now. What is the source? What's the source of the panic attack?
I have no idea. I didn't hardly sleep last night, but I'm just saying it's not like I was worrying about anything or anyway, anyway.
All right.
So I appreciate the prayer.
All right. Father, we have Sister Suzanne before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are our Abba Father. You are her Abba Father. And as we grow close to you, fear and our love of you can't be together, Lord. Your love overcomes fear. The Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So, Lord, we come against that fear that's afflicting our sister. In Jesus' name, she is under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and she's free from the law of sin and death, and that includes fear. Fear is in the law of sin and death. So, Lord, we destroy the law of sin and death, And we ask, Lord, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that she's under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus with you as her Abba Father. Thank you for that great victory, Lord. We're asking now in Jesus' name that her heart slows down, Lord, that the beat slows down, the blood pressure comes down, and, Lord, to normal. Everything comes to normal, and she is free of fear. No panic attack, but a love, growing love with God as our Abba Father. Thank you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Lord, we want her made perfect in love. No place with her in fear, but freedom with you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, fear must come off her. It must, in the name of Jesus. We apply the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Peace. We speak peace. Your peace, Lord, that passes all understanding, shall assure her heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chaplain John. Thank you.
Yes. Fear has no right whatsoever to afflict you, but that's all a sign of growing closer to God as your Abba Father. Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Anytime. Gigi and Randy? Is Gigi and Randy here? Okay, I guess not. All right. Well, we had a good night tonight. And we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything is going to turn out as God in his word, in his prophetic word. Everything is going to turn out like that, including coming for us, including the rapture in coming for us. So that's something we need to stay focused on, Lord, everybody, is the Lord coming for us. He's the groom. We're the bride. He takes us to the New Jerusalem, where that's the marriage supper of the Lamb will be held. We're there. And the moment the marriage supper of the Lamb is over, we return with him. And it says we're going to reign as kings and priests on earth. Amazing, amazing. So I want everybody to be blessed. Tomorrow morning we have prayer at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night we've been having a lot of good meetings with Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred comes in the first hour and he teaches. And then the second hour we have prayer. So you're all welcome. Tomorrow night, that starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. And other than that, we'll call it a night. So God bless you, Sister Sharon. Hang on here. God bless you, Sister Sharon.
Yes, God bless you, Chaplain John.
All right, Sister Rita, God bless you.
God bless you, Chaplain John.
And Sister Suzanne.
And God bless you, Chaplain John.
All
and everyone
right.
else.
Thank you now. Thank you.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high when redeemed again redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed again like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing. Now when the redeemed are gathering in, we will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in
have to listen, for they cannot sing this song when the redeemed.